The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
October 11th, 2019. October 11th, a day that will live in wrestling infamy. SmackDown, its second show on Fox, and the era of Dark Bailey is here.
Yeah. Finally. You got it, Glenn. You've got it.
I'm Glenn Rubenstein. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. That's Matt Morgan. That's Michael Wiseman. Matt, are you satisfied tonight? She stabbed the Bailey buddies.
That was awesome. This is what you've been begging for, is it not?
If they didn't do it tonight, they never could have done it, ever.
Okay, instead of leading with that, Glenn, give them their props for getting us there instead of doing the overnight, I'm a villain now.
Actually, that would be an awesome heel turn if she was like cackling and going, ooh.
What about doing this? What about twisting her twirly must? Yeah, that too?
Tying people to the train tracks.
Dude, there's some cartoon crap, dude. I appreciate this somewhat slow burn to get there.
Yeah, it was cool. Kind of a nothing SmackDown up until then, even with the draft, right?
Even with the draft, I agree.
They screwed it up. How do you screw up a draft? A draft episode is a beautiful thing. It's full of surprises. You can move forward stories. Tonight, we got to see what was going on in the network rooms, the USA Raw room and the Fox SmackDown room, but they were just cheering and high-fiving after every pick was named. But
then they were high-fiving robots even. I mean, let's be real here. That was the sweetest thing of the night was they had an actual Fox robot in the Fox War room.
Which is cool because if you're a football fan, you know that damn robot.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Right?
Does the robot have a name?
Oh, I should know that. I should know that.
They used to actually sell action figures of that robot. You could buy them with your team's branded. Like, you could have the generic Fox one, but if you wanted, like, a Carolina Panthers one, I mean, that's just me, I guess. But, you know.
That's smart. That's pretty smart marketing. We all watch it every damn Sunday or whenever the hell they're on. What did you think of the actual draft itself, Michael?
You know, nothing surprising there. In fact, I was a little bit disappointed with how close they stuck to what they had already done with their rosters, right? There was like not any real major, wow, I can't believe they're doing that. Right. You could have predicted this draft. And to Glenn's point, to lead the show off, nothing really surprising about this draft. And to me, you could have done something. You had all this audience coming in last week. They hit huge numbers last week. They're tuning back in this week. Do something that shocks your audience. Bring somebody back. I mean, we got Drew McIntyre back, but they all kind of stuck with the same rosters. And I think that's a little bit – also, of course, the big thing being they followed the draft that was on WWE.com just a couple days ago.
Yeah, they posted a list of eligible superstars, the draft pool for tonight on WWE.com.
I liked that.
Yeah, except the picks, Matt, went in the exact order they were listed in for the first...
2.5 rounds.
2.5 rounds.
Yeah. Oh, my God. How the hell did I miss that?
So the draft order literally went with Raw Women's Champion Becky Lynch staying on Raw, Roman Reigns going to SmackDown, the OC, Gallows Anderson and AJ Styles to Raw, The Fiend to Bray Wyatt to SmackDown, Drew McIntyre to Raw, Randy Orton to Raw, Sasha Banks to SmackDown, Ricochet to Raw, Braun Strowman to SmackDown, Bobby Lashley to Raw. Then we had a slight deviation in that Alexa Bliss solo was staying on Raw. Lacey Evans to SmackDown. And then they moved Kevin Owens up on the website. It was the Viking Raiders, but that's where they made a change. The Kevin Owens to Raw, the Revival to SmackDown, Natalya to Raw. And then there were some slight changes for the last couple ones. I believe Heavy Machinery, Raw. Is that correct? Street Profits to or Street Profits to Raw, perhaps. This is where they changed.
Now, Heavy Machinery went to SmackDown. Street Profits went to Raw, and then the Viking Raiders were.
They need to go to Raw. Ohio Valley Wrestling. Who cares? Listen, what I was going to say, though. You don't think that was Lacey going to SmackDown is a good deal? Mm-hmm. She'll get some friggin' limelight finally, as she deserves. What about, see, this is why I want to cut you off while you're naming those all off. There's somebody else.
Well, Becky
I'm going to forget again. The Fiend.
Yeah.
The Fiend going to SmackDown. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Now, that's the most interesting one, I think. I mean, yeah, Becky going to Raw, but she already has the red belt, so it kind of keeps her there. But yeah, the Fiend is the one who I think he fits the format of what Raw does most weeks. So it is, and he's still in a feud with Seth. So that is a curious choice to me.
Michael, pop down your microphone a little bit there. Yeah. I'm getting some tweets saying your game. Shout on that.
Sounds good to me. Quit friggin' bitching, chat room.
I think Becky Lynch, Matt, didn't we predict it on this podcast that Becky Lynch would be the number one draft pick in the entire thing? And she was, but Raw. Yep. Now it does make sense. It would have been a surprise, but a surprise we would have seen coming in a way if she'd gone to SmackDown, but she is the Raw Women's Champion. It does make sense her staying on Raw.
Yes. It definitely does. And it fits their motif for being Johnny. I don't want to call him Johnny come lately. Let me ask you this, Glenn, you're big up on this as I am. How do you feel WWE is in general when it comes to, without going off on a 25-minute tangent here, and I'm trying to preface this with this, the entire women's sports movement, or women in general movement, let's say. The reason I'm asking that, when they first did the initiative, right, they had been pushing women's wrestling at first. But as far as this, having her be the first pick, I said there's no way that they could pass this up as far as PR goes and things of that nature. Do you remember what we talked about? How we'd be more impressed by it if they didn't make a big deal about the fact that, hey, we drafted a woman with our number one pick. Aren't we great? Instead of just doing it, because that's where we're at today. Women and men are right here as far as wrestling goes, finally. Well, that wasn't really even – am I doing it wrong?
It's close. You got it. Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Doing it backwards. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think I'm sorry. What was the question?
Did you feel about it? Did you feel that it was a PRE type of gimmick, or did you feel it was authentic?
I think it's authentic. She is the hottest star they have in the
company.
We think
so. We definitely think so. The fans definitely think so. I'm asking you, do you think that front office thinks so?
I think, I do. I mean, it makes sense too. I mean, her and Roman, right? They're on the cover of the video game this year. Roman's still a huge star without a title.
Why couldn't she be on it by herself?
Because I think they've got data about who buys the video games, and they wanted to hedge their bets.
Because they're saying that means like what, little boys, mostly little boys play instead of little girls?
And remember that who is on the cover.
I play. What the hell am I saying?
But remember, though, the video game, all those awesome commercials, the video game, those decisions, that's not the WWE running the show there. That is the company that publishes those games that are making those decisions. WWE has input. But remember, that's why Goldberg came back to do the video game commercial or Sting. They've had guys that aren't even in the company.
Goldberg's was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and it's worth saying, too. I mean, they did lead SmackDown last week with Becky, right? And she was in the segment with The Rock. They led her again this week as the number one draft pick. And also, we talk about Becky being the surprise here. It did seem like early in the week, rumors shook out that Charlotte was more likely to want to be drafted by Fox. They liked her name. They liked her prestige. They liked what she brought to the table. And keeping Becky on Raw keeps the title situation clean. Plus, if her and Seth, you know, they're doing their thing together, WWE, I can see them wanting to keep that couple together on the same roster and same brand to keep both people happy.
Where is Charlotte and them going?
Do what?
Well, we won't know until Monday. But I would think, given what happened...
Charlotte still wasn't drafted?
No, so roughly, what was it, like 40% tonight was eligible. And the remaining 60% of superstars are eligible Monday because Raw is a much longer show. They're going to tell you what happens. I mean, kind of a weird two-parter. So they opened up tonight with Seth Rollins versus Roman Reigns, a pay-per-view worthy main event in the opening match of your draft episode. I predicted that they needed something like The Fiend interfering so this didn't become Batman versus Superman round 7, where we have an hour-long match. But even with The Fiend interfering, this match went for almost 20 minutes.
It did. But Glenn, you hear what you just said though in your voice? You put down the draft episode not being meaningful as far as having these pay-per-view worthy Superman versus Batman matches.
Oh no, I was actually putting down the draft for not having more surprises in storytelling.
Yeah, like, that's what I first thought you'd lead off with. Yeah.
No, I think the draft, honestly, I don't think a draft episode even really needs much wrestling. I think maybe you do some fun things with this. They tried to do tonight, say, oh, whoever wins is going to get first pick. When they were doing it this way, of Raw getting three picks and SmackDown getting two, you knew Raw had to go first. It's the only way it works.
I think it's corny when they wrestle for picks. I think it's stupid.
Sports something, teams don't do it. Anything. You know, just anything just to kind of make the wrestling meaningful. Because otherwise you've got Corey every match saying...
Why not just have these guys do interviews, like shoot interviews?
I don't be in favor of that. I loved the last draft when they had the NXT people in the locker room not knowing who was going to get called up. That was really cool.
Remember Balor? Yeah. That was cool. What's his name? Cesaro talking about the letdown when he didn't get drafted, right? Or was it Sammy? One of those two cut a really good promo.
Yeah, well, and the thing is, this week too, you're talking about doing this 20-minute match to start off Raw, and you're doing these two big guys. And I agree with Glenn on this. I think wrestling for picks.
What?
I do.
Take it back.
I'm always a fan of things, and this is a weird example, right? But I'm always a fan of things that give wrestling matches purpose. It's something as simple as wins and losses need to matter, and I'm a big believer in that. For the most part, I think there are exceptions, and so I like the fact that each match on the show gives each side something, right? Wrestling for draft picks, to your point, Matt, is stupid from the perspective of it's not what real sports teams do, so I don't like it from that perspective. But yeah, a 20-minute match for a pay-per-view caliber match to kick off the show, I think just drug the whole thing down a little bit. You know, we were promised people showing up, all these stars, all these celebrities, and also I was bothered that Stephanie was the one who did all of the draft picking tonight.
And the Fox Sports guys, I thought more often than not, were awkward. It felt kind of forced. I don't really give a shit who Howie Long would pick first in a draft.
I kind of do.
Ready Blair, woo! Okay.
Right. Time out. Let's go back in time, pretend I didn't say that. Here's why we don't, because we know it's canned.
Yeah,
we know the picks are all... But I'm a huge Howie Long mark. He was a badass back when he played. So
big fan of the movie Firestorm.
No,
remember that Howie Long was going to be like an action.
But he had movie star good looks. Yes. He's a star. He's a huge star. Especially we watch him every weekend. You know, those of us that watch football. Mm-hmm. I do like the crossover they're doing here. I hope it continues because of the legitimacy it gives our damn business. Finally.
Yeah. Well, that's true too. Yeah, and it does to a casual fan. Again, we're to Matt's point. We're a little bit jaded here. We look at the insider perspective. A casual fan tunes in. Oh, look, these guys who I see every Sunday are now on a wrestling show. I'm now more bought in. You know,
today I was on Fox 35 covering SmackDown, giving them. They called it a preview, but that's not what I was there to do. I was there to actually give a recap of my top three highlights from last week's show. But you could tell when they're talking and stuff that. It's the same thing. It's those locally here in Seminole County, here in Orlando, Florida, having them talk about it at all lends credibility to it. It just does because these people are never talking about wrestling a day in their lives. Why would they? But now it's on Fox, it's on their network. They are. They're excited about it. I don't know. I just think it lends credibility to those that normally may not watch it and maybe think of it differently now.
Oh, Fox, credit to them. Matt, how many years did TV networks, cable or broadcast, seem almost embarrassed to be in the wrestling business?
Right? This is the complete opposite. Yeah. I totally love it. I wish I was wrestling again, honestly, during these times. I really do.
Hey, man, you know, this Fox gig. They're giving Tyrus those commercials.
Well, they should. My man's got his own shows on Fox.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's
talk good. About reinvention.
He's awesome.
So the Fiend interfered tonight, came up through the ring, dragged Rollins down Nightmare on Elm Street style, and then was poking his head out. The poking the head out part, I don't know if that's what they intended, but that looked corny as F. That was bad. But the Fiend interfering, okay, so if the Fiend's going to SmackDown, this was it for Rollins. Who do you put the Fiend with next, Matt?
Oh, I don't have anything for you because I don't know where the hell they're going to be. Excuse me, after Monday.
Yeah. It's interesting splitting him and Rollins up.
Especially because in this segment, they were continuing the storyline. And I almost wonder, you know, sometimes when you have the draft and it's like, well, there's no more wild card rule, but they still make these little exceptions. I almost feel like this could be the one or the two exceptions they make. You know, the Fiend is such a character. I even hate that he was drafted a little bit. I think it's a little bit his character.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. He kind of does his own thing, but they drafted him. So maybe he's the one they finish this feud up at Crown Jewel, WWE Championship on the line, winner takes it to their brand, whatever. Or Universal Championship, I should say.
I want him done with the Rollins storyline altogether because we see how they book him in, when he's in it. It's stupid. Nothing good comes of it from him. So if he ain't going to squash him in 3 seconds flat, we want nothing to do and just move on, please. Yeah.
People are saying Braun Strowman to answer your question, Glenn. Some people said Braun is the right guy to put him with. I mean.
Oh, hang on. We're being corrected. Somebody with the name of You Can't See Me. Good Lord. Bray Wyatt went to SmackDown, not the Fiend.
I feel like these are people that at the end of Breaking Bad said, well, we never saw Walter White die.
right.
So he could still be alive.
Spoiler alert for Breaking Bad. Sorry, everybody. if you're catching up this weekend, our bad.
I would love that, deuces. I would pay a lot of money for that. Because Undertaker would not have to do much either. He can do all of his spooktacular crap. You get that thunder coming out of his rear hide, he could be throwing lightning with his fingers and doing all the crazy magic stuff that Taker's powers are supposed to be, right?
Catching Daniel people Bryan. On fire again, like they used to do back in the 90s, right? Lightning comes down, cameraman's on fire.
Guys, you better I really always like that. I know that sounds corny. I used to love it.
I was younger then. I would literally pause the TV as the lightning bolts would come down. Bro, to see how they
and I wasn't younger. I was in college.
The Fiend should have been a free agent. I agree. I think, again, It's the conversation we had about the championship last week. How can the Fiend be a champion? And then he's just a weird kind of larger than life character.
He should not know what a championship is. He should not know what the freak a draft is. You know what I mean? He just shows up from time to time just to eat people.
Yeah. Cannibalism. I'll buy it. I'll take it.
Then we had King Baron Corbin versus Shorty Gable. Getting back the win tonight.
Mike, what do you think of this name?
I hate it. I really dislike it because I think we're picking out a physical characteristic that is used in this case. I mean, I know Shorty, right, can be kind of like a, hey, we're cool, right? But
you're my Shorty.
Yeah, you're my Shorty, right? I mean, like it's for, but in this case, we know they're using it to make fun of his height. They've done it on the announce team side, and I don't think it sticks, and I think it makes him seem less credible and more comedic. And this guy's an athlete. This guy is a great wrestler. Let's just give him his name and just be an All-American out there, right?
Legitimately put 90% of that roster on the backs of their necks in seconds flat. He's a legit badass. So what I don't understand is why on a when the roster has never even remotely closely have been this diminutive would be the time to start making short jokes. Your entire roster is short, Vince. Newsflash. Yeah.
I mean, we're all fans of Ghostbuster B. I mean, I think he's got unlimited potential. It's just this nickname.
I don't know. I really did not see Grandmaster B winning tonight. So I think it was very obvious that he was doing the JOB tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. So I'm just waiting. Next week, they got to shorten it to Shorty G, and the prophecy will be fulfilled. So King Corbin getting his mojo back tonight. After that, we got the video package, Braun Strowman versus Tyson Fury at Crown Jewel. Matt, did you watch any of this press conference today they had in Vegas?
No.
Oh, it was awkward.
Awkward.
Whoa, quickly tell me.
Tyson Fury versus Braun Strowman. They announced that. And then Cain Velasquez versus Brock Lesnar. So Ray came out and was speaking about Dominic like Dominic was dead. Like he was sitting there giving the speech going like, I love my son. My dream was to have my son's first wrestling match with me. Brock Lesnar put an end to those dreams. Like it was really this weird speech. Then Kane started speaking, and I don't know if he was off script, but he started taking these super long, awkward pauses in between lines. Heyman came out, did the Heyman thing. And then as a cherry on top, they said, let's have Brock say a few words. So Brock spoke, and it was just really, really weird. This didn't feel like a boxing or UFC press conference.
Brock go off the script and start cursing and stuff or what?
No, I think his best line was saying, what was it? I think of you every day when I look in the mirror and see the scar you left on my face. Like that, the material was okay. The delivery though, this was just this happened on the SmackDown Live, the SmackDown entrance set in an arena, I guess filled with journalists, maybe.
Yeah, they had brought a bunch of journalists in. I think 2K brought some in for the video game roster reveal, and there happened to be some other ones in Las Vegas. And so, cool. Yeah, I mean, it was the right setup, but what I expected from this was a little bit more MMA and a little bit less WWE. And what I felt like we got was a lot more scripted. And you're building this entire feud on an MMA background, MMA story. I mean, they're literally jumping into a championship match weeks after this guy debuts based off of their history from 9 years ago. And it, so I just wish, let these guys just be MMA badasses.
Put that one back on.
Okay.
All right. For the folks at home, here's the comment. JC Harrington. No offense, JC. Cain Velasquez isn't good at talking. He has the charisma of dry bread. Versus what? Wet bread?
Versus avocado toast, which is just charming.
No, but we get what you're saying. Yeah, no, I mean, even his physical charisma, I would argue he doesn't have it either. Yeah. Tyson Fury has no business in the WWE. That match is going to be worse than Goldberg and Undertaker.
And that was the awkward press conference to me too, Matt. You didn't see it, but Braun, I mean,
Tyson have been awkward. He's a really good talker.
Him and Braun, they were, I mean, somebody pointed out that it felt like stepbrothers for a minute, right? Like the way they were kind of, they pushed each other kind of playfully. And then they did all the, like Braun did the whole, shake hands. And then
without watching it, I'm going to blame Braun because he was even awkward with the setup of the entire thing. If you remember with his like weird laugh, smile gimmick. I don't know what the hell it was.
Yeah, I think too. If you watch Tyson, and then I think you're probably right. I mean, Braun's the guy's got to carry Tyson here because he's the professional in this industry. But Tyson didn't know when to like look away. Like there were some things in there where Tyson didn't have his timing quite right. Yeah, it was just awkward. It's just a little awkward.
What was up next, Glenn? I'm sorry.
So yeah, they re-showed both of those matches, the setups from the press conference. They're both happening at Crown Jewel.
Paul, I still think it's going to be a big deal. I do. I think a lot of people are going to tune in to see it.
Oh, well, so not to jump ahead to the news stories, but Michael, Kane signed a deal with WWE, multi-year, correct?
Yes, he signed a multi-year, very lucrative. Of course, we knew this before. He had told UFC he is retiring from the Octagon, has removed himself from the USADA drug testing pool. There's not a whole lot of details on this. It's a multi-year deal. Fury, however, is expected to return to the ring, the boxing ring, that is, in 2020 for a fight.
Win the World Heavyweight Championship.
Yep, for a fight against Deontay Wilder in the rematch from 2018. So it's interesting, though, because Velasquez, he's saying this is his focus. He says his family's into it. He's super excited. We think it is because, obviously, he was doing the luchador stuff. And yeah. I think that's the most interesting stuff is Velasquez is dedicated. And if you look at some of the clips he's done. Oh my gosh, I'm not even gonna go there. If you look at some of the clips he's done elsewhere, he's really into it, but from a different perspective than the way Uzi's sass. Okay, I'll take it. Then I think WWE wants to use Velasquez. So to me, the question is, we've seen Velasquez wrestle. We know what he did in the Octagon. Can he be what WWE needs him to be right now, especially against a guy like Brock Lesnar, who is so commanding, so big? We'll find out October 31st.
Listen, Mike, he's not going to last in this company past Brock Lesnar. When Brock leaves and his expiration date is up, so is homeboys.
I think so. You don't think they're going to build Kane?
Absolutely worthless to the – what's he going to do? He looks like crap. Let's just be honest. He doesn't look impressive. What's impressive about him is he's Brock Lesnar's kryptonite. So, yeah, you throw a shit ton of money at Brock Lesnar's kryptonite because we don't buy anybody else beating Brock Lesnar. Yeah. Nobody. Maybe Braun, that's it.
Although,
what else are you going to do with
Matt, let me. So there's been footage of him that's widely made the rounds. He's wrestled in AAA in a mask.
Yes.
He's had some wrestling training. I'm going to say this. The WWE, you have to remember that Latino Americans, the Latinx community, are some of the biggest consumers of WWE product in the U.S.
I don't think he's a big enough household name. That's my point.
In that community, though, I think he's up there perhaps even more famous than Rey Mysterio, and that's saying something.
I think when he beat Brock, absolutely. Nonsense. Yeah.
Well, do you put the title on him? I mean, I know we're not doing predictions for.
Good Lord, no.
I just
can't believe you're talking like this.
Well, I'm not advocating for it.
Issue with you guys, my affiliate here in Orlando.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to repeat what was said about when he walked out to the ring because this was their first time seeing it on the replay. Okay, that's how crappy he looked, and I know he was injured, and I get all that other stuff. I'm just saying, I don't.
So you think in 6 months?
I don't see anything else. They'll use him, of course, after Brock is gone. I just don't think he's going to have as much value without Brock there. I'm saying that's why he's there is because of the Brock Lesnar effect. If Brock Lesnar wasn't there.
Do you remember what they did with Ronda Rousey? And I still argue Ronda Rousey was a lot of money misplaced by WWE. I think she was fine, and she helped main event. She got the win for the main event at WrestleMania.
As far as what? With what?
Whenever they brought her in, and they tried a couple of things with her, but if you remember, they tried like having her come out there and cut promos, and it didn't really work right. They paired up with Kurt Angle, and that match at WrestleMania was really electric. You remember, like, the fans just kind of like saw her show up, and then for like January, February, they weren't sure what to do with her. When they paired her with Kurt Angle, she got in that feud with Triple H and Stephanie, who sold like crazy for her and like did all this, you know, like they played to her strengths. And I think what I'm worried about here with Cain Velasquez is, yes, the look is part of it, but you're throwing him into the title picture weeks after he debuts in an audience, right? We're going over here to Jeddah, right? Or Saudi Arabia. But again, the audience isn't going to be as familiar with him overseas. And I just think we're setting him up for failure from a variety. Give him some time to get in there. Put him in some tag team matches with Rey Mysterio. We know he can wrestle, but at least it affiliates him with that brand. And I think it builds up his character better. That's just my opinion, though.
Yeah. So Matt, you're predicting in a year he'll be doing 3-on-1 handicap matches against the Lucha House Party.
Yep.
Oh, well, there you have it. There you go. So Paul Heyman came out tonight with Brock Lesnar, and this was the standard cut and paste Heyman promo, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Ad nauseum.
Yes. Then got the New Day in a Susan G. Komen spot for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which went right into the New Day versus the OC, and Kofi was out there smiling, throwing pancakes.
Yeah, you know what? He had a good run. He won the World Heavyweight Championship. Who gets to say that?
I know, but like the thing that bothered me about this, though, is that they had him out there, and they literally had the New Day and the Susan G. Komen women, and they said, look, everybody's a champion, except for Kofi Kingston was not. Oh, but Jesus. He was up there. Yeah, they did. The WWE tweeted out, everybody's a champion here. And I get what they're doing, right? That's a feel-good moment. So, but the bigger thing here, take Kofi off TV for a week. He didn't need to be a part of that segment. Xavier and Big E could have carried it. Kofi's out there smiling and doing pancakes. It acts like he didn't even care that he lost. He's not going to be back in the main event yet, but at least make him somber for a week.
But that shows you how they think of him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like it never happened.
Yep.
His championship. New Day won that match over the OC, stood tall at the end. Saw a recap of what happened to open the show with The Fiend and Seth Rollins. What do you think of the draft picks, Matt, that Lacey Evans is going to SmackDown?
I already said, I think it's great. I think she's going to get friggin' some major shine.
And Kevin Owens to Raw after he just got Shane McMahon off of SmackDown.
It's okay. I love that. I didn't like him on SmackDown. I didn't like what they were doing with him. So if it gets him the hell away from what they were doing with him, great. Usually when you want someone on SmackDown, when you think they deserve a little bit of a push and they weren't getting one, generally speaking, like Owens at first. But when we saw what they did with him, I don't want him anywhere near that show. I want him back on Raw. Yeah.
You seem pretty high on Lacey Evans, Matt. What do you
Lacey Evans.
Yeah, yeah.
At first, I hated her. I hated her character. I said it would never work. It's stuck in the 50s. She's from a time capsule that was stuck underground since 1950, and she just came out one day in the year 2020.
Encino Man. She's the Encino Man of WWE.
Do you know what I mean with that gimmick? I was like, it'll never work. So, like, I got to eat my words and own it. When somebody completely proves me wrong and pulls a 180 and has absolutely made that gimmick work, she uses it 24/7. I love that about her. Think about it. She's new to the business. The fact that she gets it that much to go out 24/7 and do that gimmick makes me a huge fan. Secondly, I think she's improving in the ring. She's obviously got the look, and she's a legit badass, another legitimate badass in real life before she came into wrestling. I think she's the entire package. I really do. And I think her promos are good when she's within her character. And they don't go over the top to make her corny in her promos.
What do you think about the fact that they split up Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross in the draft? They could have drafted them together.
I love Alexa Bliss. I love Alexa Bliss. I hated you guys. You know this. I didn't like that tag team. I didn't. I thought they got good. I was happy for the other girl. But enough. Alexa Bliss is, to me, a big talent. A main event talent.
But they're both staying on Raw, which is interesting.
The other one is on too. I didn't see that. I'm sorry.
So that's what I'm saying. They could have drafted them as one pick.
Well, you saw the Raw War Room. They had a peacock on their screen. So if you're asking a peacock for advice, it's what you end up with.
So the main event tonight, we got Bayley versus Charlotte in a rematch.
What?
Bayley versus Charlotte in a rematch for the SmackDown Women's Championship. Bayley came out wearing a hood. Sign number one, right? It's like, what's under the hood? What are we going to see? Removes the hood. She's cut her hair short. It looked a little bit darker. And she grabs like a poker and starts poking the wacky inflatable tube men, the Bayley buddies, and showing off her new black and gold gear. Mm. I mean, this was a different look. Now, she came out to the same music, but did you notice after she won tonight, there was different music playing for Bayley? This match, I thought this really could go either way. And were you nervous, Matt, that they were going to have her do a heel turn then lose?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. The way the match went.
I was, yeah.
Yeah.
It can't be that bad. I
figured. You say that. We had a Hell in a Cell match end in a count out.
I said I didn't trust them with that. I said that. And I was close.
It was good. I dug what they did at the beginning. You could tell they were doing something because they drug it out and she stood up there. The haircut, the look, you got to have that fresh look. The change of the music at the end, Glenn, good catch there because it did sell the moment at the end. But just the dramatic emphasis of her cutting down those men. And what I liked about it, too, is it made her seem she was serious. She's always so happy-go-lucky. And even when she's been bad recently, she's been kind of like happy-go-lucky bad. So I just love the impact she brought here. And it showed a different side of her as a performer that I'm glad we get to see.
Yeah. It was cool tonight. I don't think it was seamless, but I think that this was a definitive turn, which is what they haven't done for what is it, the past month or whatever, since she hit Becky with the chair repeatedly. So hey, this is something. She won the match tonight. She won clean over Charlotte Flair, and she's a SmackDown Women's Champion again.
Big. I mean, what else do you want, Glenn? Like, you need to be selling this more for what you've been asking to see. We got, plus she won the championship.
It was great. And I hope this marks the start of new great things for her and some real freaking storytelling. Sasha's going to be on SmackDown also. So they're going to stay together.
Look forward to tomorrow. Give them their credit now in the moment. They got it right. They did the right thing.
They did. And at the last possible moment, but they did it. And I can respect doing things at the last possible moment.
Well, and they did tell the story, and what I like too, you look back on it now, and it's easy to say hindsight's 2020, and they got it right here. They could have just kind of stumbled their way into it, like they did with the Daniel Bryan storyline. But if you think about it, she had the attack, she was still very immature. Last week she got beat, the week before, whenever it was, she got beat again and again and again, and she had to dig deeper. And so, to the point about it not being an overnight turn, it did tell that story, and I think that was good. And Bayley, again, deserves kudos for selling this like she did. And the short hair was great. I love the look. The look was fantastic.
I still think she looked better with short hair.
I thought it was a great look.
It was just so different. I mean, it's hard to adjust to. And that's good, though. I mean, okay, so yes, this is exactly what we were talking about, doing something drastically different. Different looking gear, different looking hairstyle, different music.
Except you incorrectly, yes, your opinion is incorrect, apparently, in wanting it the next night.
I feel like I should get out of the middle of you two. I feel like I should just go away.
Michael, Glenn wanted her to come in with like a freaking shaved head, different music, complete black, NWO stapled across her forehead.
My Chemical Romance t-shirt on, right?
NWO beard. Everything possible to say I'm heel now. Heel turn.
So here's the question, Matt. Are you going to modify your Bayley action figure tonight so it's appropriate to her current action
figure? Unlike you, I stopped.
I don't think I have. I think I have a Bayley Funko Pop somewhere.
Actually, I haven't stopped. I just have a Bayley figure.
No, I think this is good. No, I mean, the argument for it, Matt, is that I think heel turns are more shocking when they happen all at once.
Okay, but they can't change who they are the next day. It's hokey. It's not real. I don't buy it when it happens the next, like how they change their attitude, their music, their swagger, how they're walking, going to high five a fan and pulling their hand away. The next day you do that? No, 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 no. I want to see the buildup as to what makes you become that asshole. You don't become one overnight because somebody screwed you over. I want to see what the layers of the onion is what I want to see. That's the most intriguing thing to me. What pisses us all off with WWE is they don't get you there. You know what I mean?
Glenn versus Matt, ladder match for the Hogan LJN figure. There you go.
But I already have it. Why would I?
Yeah, and Matt's like 13, 14 inches taller than me. So
there are times it works both ways. I mean, I think in this case, I get why Glenn was upset, right? Because I think sometimes, especially with her, even though she turned, it felt like they were dragging this out in this weird way where she turned, but she didn't really change. She just was a little bit like, I don't know, a little bit meaner maybe.
It's like they were playing chess and saying, well, I didn't take my hand off the piece yet so I can move it back.
But I think they did do it right tonight. And I think to me, I get that. And I think sometimes the quick turn works. Seth Rollins, when he was, you know, everybody liked him and then he was bad, that works. But I think this paid it off. And so I look back and I'm okay with it. I give them credit for tonight was the right move at the right time. Second week on SmackDown gives you a big hook, leaving the show for next week, gives you a new champion. Your second week on Fox, it lined up the right way for me to not make me regret it. Yeah.
I actually wish it would have happened. I mean, and this is funny saying about a draft episode. I wish it would have happened on a hotter episode. I think they thought tonight was going to be a really hot episode. If this would have happened last week, it would have had much more of an impact.
It would have made my top three highlight list, for instance, today on Fox 35. Do you know what I mean? It gets lost in the middle of so many big things on that first episode.
Or even at Hell in a Cell, if it would have happened. I think this drafting tonight.
Hell, actually, it might have actually helped save it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but Hell in a Cell, and it shows you guys, but that had one of the best women's matches we've had in months. That Hell in a Cell match was fantastic. And nobody's talking about it because of the damn finish. So,
finish of the women's match was not the way it should have turned out.
Well, I mean, the finish of the main event took away from how great that Sasha-Becky match was, I thought.
Can we stop and read this? Hang on. Go back. I got to read the news. Breaking news. Raj Gurry has left Wrestling Inc. to team up with Ryback as part of Team Raj Back. Mm. Wow. Raj, you really have left, huh? Glenn now owns Wrestling Inc. Is this true?
That's a heel turn. You wanted an instant heel turn, Glenn. Wrestling Inc. He's going to be wearing the Feed Me More gear. The singlet.
10% of Raj that's fired up. I just said that.
Glenn now owns Wrestling Inc. No, I think tonight this was good. Again, it's just a timing issue. Bailey cut a promo after, referred to the crowd as bitches, said screw all of you, tossed the mic down and walked off, and that's how we went off the air.
And that's the real Bailey, by the way. Like that's how exactly I think she would play it. Why are you laughing? I think that's exactly how she would.
I imagine her walking around all the time talking to people bitches. Like she's been putting on this nice act on TV for 5 years. You
guys have seen enough movies to know when it's like Dave Chappelle. It's like every comedian, they end their phrases with that.
Yeah. I just have this mental image of Bailey being this person outside the ring, like she's at home with her, I don't know, her boyfriend or whatever, bitches just all the time.
She had weren't there some tweets that she had to clean up, not because it was like controversial, but because it was very un-Bailey like language.
Yeah.
You know, she was not always living that gimmick on Twitter. But no, look, this is exciting tonight. I think this is potentially a very, very good thing. I think that the rest of the episode was kind of lame. And even with the draft stuff going in order of how it was, I don't know, this thing with Team USA and Team Fox there tonight, it just, I don't know. As far as drafts go, it's not the result of it, it's the presentation, right? This is all predetermined. They aren't randomly picking things.
Right.
It's also weird to have people cheer. Matt, what do you think of this? To have like the war rooms cheering about the draft thing, and it's like you were guaranteed to get it. It's a draft. You didn't win anything here. Why are you so excited and like high fiving each other after every name's called?
Because I'm okay. I gotta think about this because I didn't pick up on that. Honestly, I didn't really. I wasn't like, oh great, yay, they're cheering. But I was like, well, we see that in sports, right? That's because they're hoping their favorite player is available if they want to draft. So aren't they cheering the fact that they got Seth Rollins or this guy or that girl because they really wanted them on the roster and now they got them? Hmm.
My big miss here, I think, was the fact that we got no reaction from the wrestlers, though. We got reactions from Raw and SmackDown, but nobody talked to anybody afterwards and said, what do you think about going? Hey, Becky, what do you think about going to Raw? How do you feel Monday nights?
Here's what I would have done, because you couldn't do it with USA, I don't think, but with SmackDown on Fox, I think you could. Yeah. And that is interview everybody that tonight got drafted to SmackDown, because I think most of them, 90% of them, would be legitimate excited. They're on the new network. Mm-hmm. There's all this money put into it, all this attention now on it. It's, not the number one brand, but maybe it will be. Who knows what? They're treating it really big time. So everyone's going to be excited that's coming over to the blue brand finally. And it'd be cool to get that exuberance on film and legit excitement. But Raw, I would argue, if you were to do it with them, I don't think everybody would be like, yeah, I'm going to Raw so I can be buried. And
on Twitter and WWE.com, there are reactions.
Oh, are there?
Yeah, Natalia just posted one.
I don't go to .com.
Yeah, I know. It's the same problem I have with AEW doing all the storytelling on Being the Elite. Put some stuff on TV.
Yeah.
Fair point, I guess. I'm always on YouTube for other things, so I always end up seeing BT because of it.
Just watching old TNA clips of you, like, and in SmackDown?
No, I have, but no. I have.
You rewatch these shows the day after, don't you, to make sure you came across the way you want to come across, right?
When I was wrestling, shoot, I would argue, like, minutes after I'd want to watch it because I'd rip everything I do apart.
I'm just giving you a hard time. I spend like once a month on YouTube looking for like Grease 2 covers and like searching the same weird shit for like different mashups and things like that. Like, quit all of our vices.
Go ahead.
I like getting the Raw Attitude Era stuff.
Yeah.
That the network, I have a hard time going on the network and like I can't even use a search engine anymore and just type in like matches that I want to see anymore. What the hell's wrong with that damn new app? I don't like it. It's not as user-friendly as it was before. So I'm like, F it. I'm going to YouTube then. And I'm going to find it. I'm going to find Luger versus Sting, whatever year I want to see it on that. And it will plug it in and find it for me.
And I'm trying to find stuff sometimes because I do writing for the site as well. So I'm trying to find clips I can embed into articles. And then it's hard. WWE doesn't have a great – I mean, they have some of their stuff on their YouTube channel, but trying to find the right clips from them sometimes is a real pain in the neck. And I end up having to go to people that I'm like, I don't know who this person's username is, but they have the clip that I want here. So
that's who I watch. I watch all those people, people.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I just wish reactions, I think, would have made the draft like a bigger deal. Have a Fox exec talk to Becky and say, hey, you're over here. And even Raw, you're right. Not as exciting, but they can still sell it and say, well, Raw's a historic brand. It's been around for 30 years. Like, I'm happy to be carrying this, you know. That's what was missing to me about this. If you want to have this feud, SmackDown versus Raw, right? Which they build up. They got T-shirts out there. Let's do it.
Oh, I love this. Casey Michael from Squared Circle Sirens just tweeted: Bayley's getting a whole new everything literally days before the new WWE video game comes out. That's one of my pet peeves.
DLC, baby. Gotta sell that DLC. Make some money.
I hate when things aren't current in the WWE. Games. So now I lost my train of thought.
That's it. That's a wrap.
That's it for
we got SmackDown. One more thing. We got one more thing.
No, we're good. All right, bye.
I'll get you out of here. We got 3 minutes. That's a big deal. No, guys. Second week ratings have come in, as we know, for AEW and for, of course, I think this is fourth week ratings for NXT. But the second week they've been head to head. And no surprise here, AEW Dynamite did top WWE NXT again. In viewership for the second week in a row. But it is worth noting.
What was it?
AEW did drop what I think is by a significant amount here. They drew 1.018 million viewers. So just above a million viewers. NXT right at 800,000, 790 technically. So
that's close.
Dynamite topped NXT by 29%. AEW ranked number 8 in cable top 150 for the 18 to 49 demographic, while NXT ranked 27. AEW ranked 25 in viewership. But again, going back to last week, AEW drew 1.409 million viewers, so they lost roughly 4 million viewers, while NXT lost about 100,000.
No, it was 4 million viewers. What'd you say?
Last week, AEW drew 1.409 million viewers.
Right. But how many did you say they lost this week?
So they lost about 400,000.
Yeah.
Sorry if I misspoke. Yeah, they lost about 400,000. NXT was down 11% from last week. They lost about 100,000. So what do you guys think? Glenn, ratings, numbers.
I mean, wrestling fatigue is real, right? I mean, Matt, would you be watching all of this stuff even?
No, NXT and AEW, I would, but that's it, I think.
I just think it's too much, and I think that coming after last week and coming after Sunday, people are going to start needing a break, and it's not about what they're doing right now. I think it's about where it is 6 months or a year from now.
This is what's going to end up happening, and AEW will be doing on the high end. I think like the 1.1s, the 1.2s on the high end, unless there's some huge star that's definitely coming. Everyone knows weeks in advance. Huge star I'm talking about, like Jericho level huge, I'm saying. Then it will boost it. But I think they'll be between 1.1, 1.2 on the high end. On average, I think they're going to be 0.8s to 0.9s. And I think NXT on average will be 0.7s, high end, 0.8s. I don't think they'll ever break a 1.0.
TV ratings are down across the board, right? So this isn't entirely surprising because they've been trending down for years, but sports have been somewhat immune to this. The NFL has still been very hot. I think for me, the thing that is disappointing is it really seemed like AEW had a positive reception that first week. And I figured it might go down a little bit, the positivity on AEW after the failure at Hell in a Cell, I thought might boost them a little bit, even just stay steady. This is a chunk of rating. It's a pretty steep drop, I feel like.
I don't know how to really gauge it. I just see what the number I think it'll end up averaging.
I base it off of, I kind of go back to, we got all these wrestling competitions going on right now, AEW, NXT, whatever else. But I go back to Impact on Spike because to me, that's the closest thing we have to a competitor. And even on their later days.
1.4 multiple times, I'm pretty sure.
Do what?
We did 1.4 more than one.
Oh, yeah. You guys did. I mean, during the Hogan Bischoff era, you know, they pulled that 2 that one week they went to Monday nights, but they were averaging, I think, somewhere around a 1.3, 1.4.
Before they came. Right before Hogan and Bischoff came, we were averaging our highest rating. I swear to God.
Yeah.
And then they came in. We did get that huge boost with RVD. All them that came that first
the Monday night. Yeah. But I think even like you go back to 2013 or the later years they were on Spike before they moved, they were just under 1 million. So AEW is kind of in that territory, but here's one big difference though. I think it's important to note WWE does not show the hard cam side anymore because they can't sell it out. And AEW is doing a pretty damn good job of putting butts in the seats for live events.
Oh, yeah.
An area that WWE is struggling with right now. So AEW is doing something right.
AEW's got a different problem, though, because most of those tickets are bought up, a fair percentage are bought up by ticket brokers and scalpers. And it's, I think, skewing their sellouts a bit. I mean, just in fairness, there were photos that were tweeted at us of AEW hard cam side, even from this last show, and it wasn't packed like what we saw on camera. So I think that live attendance is tough, and filling big venues is not an easy thing to do. If they did, everyone would be doing it. AEW also right now is only touring in the wrestling belt, like the most highest live event attendance. They're not coming to the West Coast until next year.
Honestly, that's what they should be doing, though. They should not be taking risks and huge chances. They should be staying in the comfort zone right now and continue to build upon it. This is the mistake so many companies make.
Yeah.
Is that they would try to get too big too fast. We TNA were huge. We had great money. We had a lot of money backing. We had a great network. You know what I mean? We took too big of a risk. Way too big of a risk. By going live and thinking that we can go on tour at the same while doing so. What?
I think it's crazy if you go back a year and a half ago and you had said AEW is going to go on TV on TNT and draw over 1 million viewers a couple of weeks in, I think that would have sounded impressive. I think the boost they got from doing these pay-per-view events and the buzz around them and then drawing a 1.4, I think makes the 1 million this week look less impressive is what I would say.
That's fair. Yeah.
I think people are too fixated on week by week. I'm actually more interested. Pardon me. I'm more interested in what the segment by segment ratings look like, because that will tell you who's keeping eyeballs glued.
It's true.
Yeah. Yes.
You know,
what do you guys think of Jericho's new posse, his new group,
the Inner Circle?
Yeah.
I thought that was good. I thought that was,
do you think though that they look like they would really do things together?
They've got a little bit of a Village People vibe.
There's all different shape, sizes, makes and models. They do, you're right.
But Evolution didn't look like,
come on. Yes, they are you kidding me? They're the epitome of dudes that look like they go to a strip club together.
Yeah, but like there's something weird about it where it's like, well, one's the guy's uncle and then the other one they know from work, and there's one that like I've known since a kid, like I played T-ball with him. Like they didn't look like they had a theme necessarily. I mean, they didn't.
They did. They were
Batista, the muscle, Hunter, the brain, the centerpiece, yeah. Ric Flair, the, you know, past generations, Triple H, Randy Orton, the diamond, as they kept calling
him. I get the theme of how they were put together. I'm just saying they didn't come out looking like a boy band in matching tracksuits.
Well, they put them all in suits, though. I mean, they did. They had the limousine look. They had, you know, they had Motorhead. And they sold that to make it look like they were a unified front. They really did.
They looked like, to me, they're one of the epitomes of your look at the Four Horsemen. Same thing.
They're kind of very Four Horsemen-esque.
Matching tracksuits. I think that's really what any stable needs.
They all need to be like the New Day, and then we're good. No, you know, I think about this. I like what Jericho did here, and I'm glad he pulled them together. But I think about somebody like Swagger, and I'm like, why would Swagger team up with Jericho here? Swagger should be considering himself a main eventer, not the muscle for somebody else.
He's going to turn. I think Swagger. I think Jake Hager is the one that's going to turn instead of him versus Jericho.
Yep. I think that's you're right. He's not talking.
Yeah,
I think that's why they're having him not talk. And I like the fact that he wasn't talking. I heard others complain about it. Like, how could you treat your world champion? Because I think they're going somewhere with it. I think it's not because they don't think he can talk. I don't think it's any of that. I think it's just to add more mystique behind it. But he looks great. He does look like a giant. I love the fact that Jericho pointed that out twice. So they treat him like a giant in that company. So everybody else doesn't look so much smaller, because it does. You know what Jack Swagger looked like in WWE? He was hardly a giant. He was 6'5", maybe 6'6" at the tallest. That's not giant status. But in that company, it is. So I like the fact that Jericho pointed that out. His promos was so good.
Yep.
His promo was so good.
Well, you go back to what Cody said a while back, where he's like, we're not going to open our shows with long promo segments like WWE does every week, or something along those lines. And yeah, I'm glad they did this week, because they had great wrestling. They have great wrestling. They let the wrestlers do their thing. This show needed that. And I think it's what people are talking about this week, because it felt different and special.
Characters, so, right? Yeah. They're trying to build some characters for us to care about. So, what do you think about all the tongue sticking out crap between the two other guys?
What's
doing? Can somebody explain that to me? Is he like, it's annoying. It's annoying.
Twitter, Jericho again was talking about how hot Sammy Guevara is, like attractive. And it just made me keep thinking of The Office, how Michael Scott was towards the temp Ryan. Like, I was always pointing out how attractive he was.
I've got to agree. When Sammy's not like sticking his tongue out and being like a weirdo either, because he's doing it too.
Yeah.
He's you can see girls would be totally like in love with him. You could see that. And guys like watching him because he's freaking money in the ring and he does all this crazy cool stuff that people like watching. He could be a big star if they do it right with him. If he does it right, Tongue and Panda don't. At least they got rid of this stupid Panda thing.
I don't think they got rid of it. Just because we didn't see it one week doesn't mean it's gone.
There's no way Jericho's playing Panda freaking hat. No way. I would be shocked if he didn't knock it off the top of his head backstage. If he sees him walking around with it, don't do it. What are you doing? Yeah, that shit's done.
Yeah, I don't know. Cody came out like with MJF doing Star Trek cosplay,
which was awesome. No, it was not just Star Trek. It was Next Generation cosplay. Let's be clear. Let's clarify. What are you rolling your eyes at talking about looking up Grease?
Shit. Why do I have the reputation for being
looking
a nerd
up Grease 2? Like, not even Grease 1 wasn't even a great movie, but you got to go to Grease 2.
Grease 2 is better. It's Grease 2, twice as good as Grease 1.
Michael in Grease 2 was a very intriguing character. I agree.
Poignant commentary from Matt Morgan.
I in the backyard thought I can go find parts and build my own motorcycle after watching that movie. Did you know that?
We all have dreams, Matt. We all have dreams.
So we'll see what happens next week. We're going to be back here Monday night for part two of the draft. Me, Matt Morgan, Raj Geary, if he's not off on a picnic with Ryback.
Totally.
Rajback is what they call him. That's the new tag team name.
Raj, don't lie. I know you're watching right now. And more importantly, I know you like that nickname. Don't lie. That hashtag to stick. So everybody out there, do not create that hashtag, because he secretly will like it.
True.
He thinks he's getting over.
Yes. And then
at the expense of his own podcast, may I just add.
Yeah. And then Wednesday, of course, week 3 of dual screening it and talking about AEW and NXT. So until next time, folks, it's Friday. Enjoy your weekend. I stayed up last night till midnight to watch the Breaking Bad movie El Camino on Netflix. If you're a fan of Breaking Bad, highly recommend that. He's BP Matt Morgan. He's at The Real Wiseman. I am at Glenn Rubenstein, where I would appreciate a follow on Twitter. And we will catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Have a great weekend, everyone.
Bye.
All right, fellas. Take
sick of being upsold at gyms.
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.